This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
AstroCast is poured for you by Carbach Brewing. Get highlights, interviews, the latest news surrounding MLB, and your Astros. Brought to you by Carbach Brewing.
Looking up. See you later. Into the Landry's Crawford boxes.
Subscribe to AstroCast.
Expecting a great season with this Astros team.
The official podcast of the Houston Astros.
It's going to be a lot of fun the whole way.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros General Manager James Click, as we are every Sunday as the Astros wrap up this series and road trip in Minneapolis against the Minnesota Twins. And Dusty Baker announcing earlier today, James, that Lance McCullers would be back in the rotation, made one rehab start on Thursday for Sugarland. He's going to be back in the rotation on Tuesday when the Astros open up that homestand against the Texas Rangers. And Jake Odorizzi is going to be piggybacking him. That was originally going to be Odorizzi's day. So there's quite a bit to unpack there. I guess, first of all, with McCullers, you guys saw enough in that one rehab start. Was that the thought all along, that was to give him just one and hopefully that would be enough?
It was the hope all along. These kind of things are always being reassessed. And the fact that he came through there feeling good and healthy, this was such a minor thing with his shoulder that we really didn't think we needed more than one, but you never know until you get out there. But yeah, we're happy to have him back. Excited to see him back out on the mound against Texas on Tuesday.
Meanwhile, Jake Odorizzi obviously had been in the rotation. He is relatively recently returned from injury as well. What led to the decision to have him piggyback at least this turn through, as opposed to, say, taking someone out of the rotation or going with a six-man rotation?
Well, it was just the schedule with the off day tomorrow, kind of where Lance lined up and where Jake lined up. Jake, we talked to him yesterday. He is rounding into form. He's starting to get his legs and his mechanics underneath him. And, he knows he just needs more reps, more starts to continue to get his pitches where they need to be. And that's part of the decision in here as well. And why we are with the 20 games in a row planning to have him go next Monday. And at that point, we'll basically be in a six-man rotation. Beyond that, I'm really hesitant to plan. These kind of things are going to be constantly reassessed. Workload monitoring is going to be a big part of this. Performance monitoring is going to be a big part of it. But I've found as a general rule in baseball that every time you plan out a rotation beyond maybe, tomorrow, it very rarely lines up the way that you want it to be to line up. And we just can't forget the fact that, it was 2 weeks ago, we had three or four guys on the IL at the same time. So not to say that these things will work themselves out, but this is the plan, at least for the immediate future. But we will constantly reassess to make sure that we get both the best guys out there and to make sure that everybody's health is taken care of.
How much is this discussion about the six-man rotation going for it through at least one turn, as you mentioned, not this turn, but the next turn through? How much of that has to do with what Luis Garcia has done since being in the rotation?
Well, it's not just Luis, it's everybody. We have an embarrassment of riches right now, but we can go from having six starters to having three starters overnight. And it's something we're very cognizant of. But certainly you can't say enough about what Luis has done out there. We knew how talented he was. That's why he started game four in the ALCS for us last year. But he has definitely taken a big step forward. And it's been really, really fun to watch him develop, watch him continue to use the stuff that he has and continue to learn how to pitch. So you can't say enough good things about him. But these are the conversations that we wanted to have this year. How do we take six quality starting pitchers and get them enough workload, and in some sense, seven starting pitchers with Christian Javier. So we have a lot of guys that we feel good about right now. We'd much rather be having this conversation about how to get all of those guys the work that they need to continue to perform and develop than having the conversation on the other side where you're scrambling to try to find innings and coverage.
Jason Castro played on Friday, his first rehab game coming back from the Achilles injury. He's slated to play again today for Sugarland. Could we see him back on this homestand, maybe even for that first series against the Rangers starting Tuesday?
Yeah, we'll talk to him after he gets through the game today and determine if that was enough to get his timing back and his workload back where it needs to be. I don't want to continually say that we're going to say, I don't want to use the phrase continually reassess too often, but we're going to continually reassess where we are with that. So let's just get through today, see if see how he comes through today, how he feels, and then we'll make a call.
No, Framber Valdez getting the ball today, and I don't know that enough can be said about what he's done since he's come back. You know, four innings in his first start, but then the last two starts going deep into games like we saw last year, and also doing it against a very good lineup in the Boston Red Sox. I mean, we've talked about how he's exceeded all timetables in terms of his comeback from the fractured finger anyway, but I mean, if I told you after that injury that Framber would be pitching into the eighth inning in June this year, I think you probably would have done somersaults.
Yeah, I'm having to resist the temptation to go break other people's fingers to see if that improves their pitching. in all seriousness, the start against the Red Sox the other day, the curveball, the movement on it, the location, more than anything, the ability to just pound the bottom rail of the zone and get some big swings and misses, by significant amounts on some very, very good hitters, I think says everything you need to say about Framber and his continued development. And the stuff has always been there. It's the poise, it's the maturity, and it's the location of the pitches that I think is going to continue to unlock what he has. But that is a fearsome lineup. He got some very awkward looking swings out of them. And anytime he can do that, it means that your stuff and your locations are really working.
Once again, joined by Astros general manager James Click before the Astros wrap up this series in Minnesota against the Twins. And the trade deadline, July 30th this year. We talked last week about the draft. That's now the week of the All-Star break in mid-July. Normally, by this time, the draft is over and you're already thinking ahead toward trade deadline and whether you're a buyer or seller and what that looks like. How much does having the draft in mid-July change maybe some of the preparation and some of the conversations around the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has an effect. We have limited resources in the front office, obviously, that we can deploy. And I am spending a lot of time talking to our scouting directors about the draft. I'm spending a lot of time on the phone with other teams, trying to focus on trades to help the major league team out and to get ready for the trade deadline. We have a lot of people whose attention is a little bit divided. We understand why Major League Baseball did this. I think there are some real benefits to having the draft a little bit later in the calendar. But there's no question that it's stretching some people, myself included, a little bit thin. It's going to have an effect on us. We're still going to be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. We'll be able to get through it, but it is flexing some new muscles that we haven't had to time up before. And look, 29 other teams also are going through the same thing. So we're not alone in it, but it does make you wonder sometimes if your attention might be a little bit divided. And so we're going to have to put some things in place to make sure that we're 100% focused on both of them at the same time.
The Astros pretty close to the luxury tax threshold, competitive balance tax threshold, with some of the moves that were made in spring training and even before that. How much might that affect what the Astros can do as far as the trade deadline goes? Might that limit some of the acquisitions the Astros might be able to make?
It's a factor that goes into it. It is not a hard cap, but if you exceed it, there are tax penalties, and then there are additional penalties if you're engaged with qualifying offers or both coming in and going out. So there's an odd inflection point at the threshold where if you go over it by a dollar, you incur the same penalties on qualifying offers that you incur if you go over by 19.9 million. And so we have to be cognizant of that and factor it in, but that is a calculation that's not completed until the season is over. So there are still opportunities to get creative and try to get some moves that maximize, both the assets that we can acquire now while also minimizing penalties that might incur later.
Pedro Leon, I was looking at his day by days. I knew he was going to play some shortstop, and I mean, for one thing, he's starting to swing the bat better now. He's, I think, hitting 345 in the month of June, had a home run yesterday. playing a lot of shortstop, way more shortstops in center field. I think he's only played a handful of games in center so far. Was, I mean, I know at the beginning of the year it was, hey, let's expose him to shortstop, see how that goes. But it, I mean, it seems like it's more than exposure at this point. I mean, is Pedro Leon more shortstop than center fielder now?
Boy, it's a really good question. In some sense, you want to say, yes, we've got about a month and a half of minor league season right now to see him out there in real live game action. And based on that, we should have a pretty good idea of if is this thing the kind of thing that can have some legs going forward. At the same time, you know, 5 to 6 weeks of baseball sometimes is in a lot of ways a very small sample. So we are going to continue to gather information on him, continue to see what he can do there and assess if this is something that that has legs going forward. But, you know, the fact that it is still going and the fact that he is still out there and still getting better and still learning, you know, you can see the raw talent, you can see the raw athleticism there. These are things that give us a lot of optimism about it. We have a long way to go before we can say positively if this is something that that has a long-term future there.
Based on what you've been hearing out of Corpus Christi and the reports you've gotten, what are the biggest challenges for Leon playing shortstop after being mostly a center fielder?
It's just the experience of it. There are so many things that have to happen at shortstop where you have to almost anticipate how to react. And I've talked to fielders in the past, and they will say things like, they'll draw a mental line in front of them where if the ball is to the right of the line, let's say this guy on first, right? If the ball is to the right of the line, then they have to go to first. But if the ball is to the left of the line, then they know they're going to second to try to start a double play. It's almost like training your reactions. There are so many plays that come up at shortstop that there's no substitute for live game action, a funny hop, a weird situation, a runner going, a fielder breaking one way, the third baseman cutting in front of you, you know, all of these little things that happen on the field of baseball. These are the kind of things that we need to get reps out there. We feel good about our ability to assess the foot speed, the raw talent, the arm strength, the glove, those kind of things. There's so much weird stuff that can happen at shortstop. Those are the kind of things that we need to get some exposure to.
So obviously there are protocols in the minor leagues due to the pandemic. I know AAA is a little different. AAA is considered like part of the major league bubble, basically, for pandemic and COVID-19 purposes. How much, though, does all the protocols maybe complicate promoting guys or moving guys up to another level? Does that change the calculus at all?
Very, very little. You know, as you point out, it's really that barrier between AA and AAA where we need to have guys, depending on their vaccination status, go through a 5-day quarantine or an enhanced testing period and get added to the tiers and that kind of thing. Moving guys from low A to high A, high A to double A, you know, there's not really any barrier there. There's certainly some concern about the travel and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you're vaccinated, we'll just do, you know, 5 days of rapid tests. And if those all come back negative, then we should be fine. So it creates a little bit of a question, but we're certainly not going to let that get in the way of guys moving up when they have earned it and when they deserve it.
All right. James Click, Astros General Manager. Thanks for joining us. And here's to a series win today.
Let's go get it.
Summer is here and the excitement is heating up. Houston Astros single game tickets are on sale now for the remainder of the season. From Dollar Dogs and Friday Night Fireworks to bobblehead giveaways and Crawford Box home runs.
That ball's clobbered left field. See ya!
Make it a summer to remember. Get your tickets and join us at Minute Maid Park. This season is for the age, and we can't wait to spend it with you. Visit astros.com/tickets for more information and to get your tickets today.
And welcome back to Astro Launch. This is Steve Sparks, and this is the Coach's Corner. And our guest today is the Astros third base coach, Omar Lopez, longtime member of this Astros organization, 12 years as a manager, 23 years all told. And Omar, you're not wearing a mask. Last time I got a chance to talk to you was about 6 weeks ago, and you were wearing a mask, and a lot of you guys were, you know, and right now you're just getting used to seeing everybody's faces again, aren't we?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Steve, for the opportunity once again. And, you know, it's been crazy, you know, crazy times in this life. And it took me, and I bet for everybody, like about a week to feel like I'm not wearing a mask. Not anymore. I'm still wearing at times in some places that we have to walk through or we have to sure. Probably spend some time and get some coffee. But it was weird at the beginning, not having something. I feel like I was naked, not having something on my face. But it feels like everything start to coming along and be back to be normal soon.
You mentioned getting coffee. You guys needed coffee yesterday. A late arrival from Boston two nights ago, Dusty Baker mentioned how proud he was that the Astros fought and clawed their way back into that game, despite being probably very tired, weren't they?
Yeah, as soon as we get out of the bus around 4, the first thing that Murphy, one of our pitching coaches, and we said, Murph, you know what? This is feels like a normal day in Corpus Christi a couple years ago. back to Corpus Christi around 4 in the morning, and then, you know, like I remember like days like that, I used to stay in my office at the field in my couch and just get up at probably 10 o'clock and get my daily routine. But yeah, it was a tough one, but the boys stepped up yesterday, and the energy that they did have, it was really good, and we did fought a lot to come back in the game and win it.
We're talking with Omar Lopez, and of course, you mentioned that you were the manager for the Corpus Christi Hooks. That league in particular is just absolutely brutal with travel. What's the biggest horror story for that season?
Well, you know what? I wish I can have a tough one. You know,
what's the longest trip? What was the longest one?
The longest one was to Springfield, Missouri.
Wow.
It's like a 14 plus hours. That's a tough one, but it's the longest one. But you know what? I mean, I don't know how that works right now with the whole new way that they're doing everything on the minors.
Yeah.
But I think we have fun. I mean, those long trips, we had fun with the entire group and the coaches that I have around. We make it and feel like not comfortable, but at the same time, like good enough to come back the next day and play. But that was a tough one. Springfield, what are the ones I remember? Oh, the ones, now I got one. That was a tough schedule our last year when we started to play in Amarillo, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
It was a hard one. If I do remember, on top of my head, we got like 6 games at home. And then we have the next day was off, but we have to travel to Amarillo, Texas. Then on the off day, no, right after our game, our last game at home, we went to Amarillo, and then we got in Amarillo in the morning. Okay, we played for 3 days, and then we back down to Midland to home for 3, and then play back in Amarillo again. So it was crazy. And to Amarillo, Texas is like a 10 to 12 hours. So it was crazy, but we made it, and that's the part of the sacrifice that myself, coaches, and players have to do in the minors. Once they get here, I mean, they're going to feel the difference. They're going to see the difference. How
right.
It's hard to, but at the same time, you know, we got more comfortable ways to travel.
It's certainly a way a team can get very close-knit in a hurry. Are you one of those types of people who can sleep on a bus or on an airplane?
No chance.
Yeah.
Never. I remember especially in Corpus Christi, I was able to kind of work ahead of, like a week ahead of our lineups, our playing time matrix, our numbers, our spray charts and everything. But when my hours – Like when I want to finish it and I still have like a 5-6 hours, I mean, Netflix and all those applications was really good to see some shows, baseball shows, highlights, MLB, whatever. Right.
Thank goodness for those apps now. I was thinking about you last week, Omar, when you guys were playing in Buffalo. And you in particular, because last year was the shortened abbreviated season, you're coaching third base in a lot of stadiums that you've never seen. And I was wondering, like, when you go to Boston or you go to Buffalo and now you guys are in Minnesota, if you have to talk to somebody about the nuances of the outfield, or how do you go about that information?
Well, in Buffalo, I didn't call Gary Pettis at all. because Gary hasn't coached third base in Buffalo.
Right.
And so what I did basically just exactly what he told me last year when I have to quote coach for the first time in a ballpark. Just and Sampson and Dusty also give me some advice to just walk around the warning track. Mm. How far is the warning track? The distance from the padding to the grass, the wind, the angles, and the grass low, high. If it's kind of fast grass, snake grumbles.
Do you take a baseball with you?
Take a baseball. I grab my phone, go, and I also wait for or when the BP time comes, the stretch. I walk around with some of the guys like they never play there, like Tucker, Stroh, McCormick.
Yeah,
and shoot some line drive ground ball down the line in the angles and left field center field. The one that we got to the field earlier that was in Boston, and right away I went outside. Especially the first day that we wasn't able to work out to take BP because it was supposed to rain. They put the tarp on. Mm-hmm. I had a plenty of time to hit balls off the wall. There is like a ladder. In between left center field right there, so make sure they know and I know how the ball mounts. And also during BP, kind of step on my positioning on third base area to see the balls how fast the ball fly or not. If when they hit the wall, how hard bounce back or if it goes straight down to have some kind of preparation in every ballpark. And Buffalo, it was crazy. The ball was flying. Mm-hmm. And the first innings, we have to play not too deep, not too shallow, because everything, if we play deep, everything in the air, you know, above their head is going to be gone.
Yeah.
So you rather, whatever the wind is going in a different direction, you rather play a little in. So you avoid the ball going, do a lot of stuff.
Take away some cheap singles.
Yes, exactly. So actually, in Buffalo, Tucker and Teoscar Hernandez both, where they were playing in, and there was low line drive that they were right at it, right away sink and tails, and it was hard for them to catch it or to read it. So, but the pop ups, I mean the hard pop ups, I mean they go back and right away they catches it because the wind stopped it. The wind was blowing towards left center field.
You guys are always talking about preventing 90 feet and gaining 90 feet. And as a base runner, mm-hmm. from our vantage point, my vantage point, I always notice that the Astros, and I'm sure you're a big part of this, are some of the best base runners at the secondary leads. And the secondary lead is when the pitcher delivers the ball, the runner shuffles off the base. And they get some distance and they get a little momentum for a ball hit. And I don't think enough teams in the major leagues take advantage of their secondary leads. Do you guys harp on that a lot?
Every time. I mean, the analytics departments I think twice a week or three times a week, mm-hmm. Because we're able to measure our distance on primary leads and secondary leads.
Yeah.
I'll say 90% of our guys are doing a pretty good job getting the primary lead properly. At least they are more than an average in the major. Mm-hmm. And obviously, sometimes when we got the information and said the secondary lead is not, it's good enough, but it could be better,
right?
Because the primary lead was short, you know? So, and they're trying to avoid the double up or if you do have information that catcher back pick a lot to first base, they shorten it up. But the whole thing is just get the primary lead properly. And then once the secondary lead, you execute it, you don't have to be over aggressive. It's going to be under control because you're already in a good position for your primary lead. So, but we've been doing good. We've been getting information from the, like I said, the analytics department, and to try to make sure these guys are consistent on the daily basis on every pitch, one out, two out, especially with two outs. That's when we have to take, be a little bit more aggressive to being able to score or to advance to the next base. I mean, these guys. Yeah, with the replay that we have in these times, I mean, this is a game of inches, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, half, 1 inch.
That's right.
I mean, it could be the key in third or second or home play, too.
I tell you what, it's really noticeable. So I applaud you guys for that. Can you talk to me for just a second, talking with Omar Lopez, the Astros' third base coach, about the impact of Martin Maldonado on this entire team?
Unbelievable. Yeah. Last night after our game, I said we have four pitching coaches here.
Right.
We got four pitching coaches. We got Stromy, we have Josh Miller, we have Bill Murphy, and we have Martin Maldonado.
Yeah.
Sometimes Stromy doesn't have to go out there and make a visit. Actually, I think out of the visits that we have allowed, I mean, Martin takes three, and that's very important, the way that he leads our guys behind the plate, our guys in the clubhouse, especially the young Latin players, like right. They're getting experience for they're getting exposed for the first time or second time or second year and around in the big leagues. That's been a big kid for us.
Is there any point when you guys go back into the coach's office after a game and just laugh about this Astros offense, about how good some of those hitters are?
We always basically mention, like, our guy is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's what I hear a lot. And what I'm always mentioned to Joe Espada is, like, coaching there, especially in this team, is I'm not saying it's not easy. It is hard on every team. But in this particular team, with the type of players that we have, you know, and I know that every single inning, there is a big chance that I'm going to have action. So I have to stay locked in. I have to be basically, I remember this from a former coach that I have a long time ago. One of my mentors, he said, when you go back home as a coach, as a manager, you have to be mentally exhausted. If you're not, it's because you don't think about it. You don't anticipate it. You don't prepare yourself. You basically were in some other area, your brain was in some other spot, but not on the field.
Right.
So mentally, I'm exhausted because every single game, every single inning, you know, this offense is gonna, it's gonna create something that is gonna put me in place to have some action. And after the game, every time I say, "Wow, we can hit." Like last night, like Julie, 99, 3-1 count, hit a homer. That ball was like,
letter high.
And he was able to hit that. I watched the video over and over. I said, how this guy with the bat here and goes down. And I always remember Julie, when I managed in the Caribbean series, and I think it was in 2014. We're facing Cuba, and Julie in the regular season schedule game that we have. We only play one time, and then the semifinals against Cuba. Julie went 4-for-4 against us, and we ended up winning that game 5-2, something like that. But he went 4-for-4. But they got this spine, they got Cepeda, and when we went to the semifinals, I said, I'm not going to pitch to Julie. And I ended up walking three times. Mm. But this spine and the other two guys ended up killing me in the game, too. But Julie was impressive. But I'm talking about 14. We're talking about 6-7 years ago. So it was crazy.
We talk about it sometimes, Omar. We talk about, man, I wish we could have seen Julie at the major league level during his prime. Because we've seen him in his 30s. I'd love to have seen him in his mid to upper 20s.
Unbelievable. How about the home run by Altuve in Boston?
Unbelievable.
That swing.
Yeah.
Explain me. I mean, it's like I said, it's just you can, as a third base coach, I have to be locked in. I cannot have said, okay, no, we're facing the best pitcher right now in baseball. I mean, this team is capable to do damage to any type of pitcher in this game.
Well, you're doing a great job. I know everybody misses Gary Pettis, but you're filling in remarkably. I know everybody's ready for you to get back over to the first base side of things because that means Gary's in full health. But Omar Lopez, man, you've been doing it a long time in this organization. They're lucky to have you. And we are too today. So thanks for catching up with us a little bit.
No, thank you, Stevie. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it, man.
Young Astros fans, it's never too early to show off your Astros pride. With the season in full swing, be a part of the official Astros Kids Club today. Kids 12 and under can join the Astros Buddies Club and receive a Buddies backpack, cap, socks, and access to exclusive events and activities throughout the year, all for only $25. What's even better, it will get shipped right to your door. For more information and to purchase your Astros Buddies membership, visit astros.com/buddies today.
Questions for Astros manager Dusty Baker.
So do you have any better idea on McCullers, Castro, when you might see them coming back?
Well, Castro caught a lot of pitches. He played five innings, and he caught almost 200 pitches. We wanted him to go longer, but that's a lot of pitches. I think he's playing today again, so we'll make a determination on him after today. McCullers is starting on Tuesday.
Dusty, what does that mean for the rest of your rotation for that Rangers series? Have you guys decided how you'll go forward?
Yeah, of course. So we'll go with Greinke on Wednesday.
Dusty, any changes to today's starting lineup?
Well, we got Carlos back in there, and we got Straw back in there. We got Stubbs catching. Maldi's, feeling his hamstrings are tight, but we got to take care of him. That gives him 2 days off. Plus Stubbs has caught Valdez probably more than Maldi has in the minor leagues. And then Michael is DH'ing, and Alvarez is playing left field.
With Lance coming back, what does that do to your rotation? Are you guys – is someone coming out of the rotation, or how are you going to handle that?
No, remember I told you yesterday that, we might, go with the six, but what we're going to do initially is piggyback Odorizzi with McCullers on Tuesday, since that would be his normal day to pitch as well.
Dusty, with Odorizzi specifically, how open has he been to this, to piggybacking and that kind of stuff, and how built up and how much do you think he can give you?
How much do you think who can give me?
Odorizzi.
McCullers?
Both. McCullers and Odorizzi, both.
Yeah, well, McCullers, he pitched four innings down there, and then Odorizzi's pitched five innings, so if things go right, McCullers will give us four, and Odorizzi give us five, and we close the game out, and we win the game. And then we'll have to make up, going forward. There's a point that, we would go to a six, and the next start for Odorizzi is scheduled. Don't put it in cement, because I don't want to be a liar. So it's scheduled for June 21st versus Baltimore.
Dusty, could you just talk a little bit about this team defensively? Obviously, Brantley makes a big grab last night, but just where this team shapes up in terms of ones you've managed defensively?
Well, yeah. I mean, any championship team there is, most of the time you have to catch the ball, unless you just have tremendous, tremendous strikeout pitchers. And I'll tell you, this team can catch the ball. And we work on catching the ball. And I think Michael Brantley is underrated as an outfielder, because they see him older, not the same speed he had, but he takes great routes. Tucker's getting a lot better. Straw is working tirelessly. He's getting a lot better. The up the middle is unbelievable. You see Jose has returned to form and even better. And, Yuli is potential Golden Glove, as well as Bregman. And it matches up probably with my San Francisco team, my first team that I had. I had, at the end of the year, I had Golden Gloves from my catcher, Kurt Manwaring, Robbie Thompson, second base, Matt Williams, one of the best that I ever had. And also, I think we had Barry Bonds. And also on that team, former Golden Gloves and future Golden Gloves, and Royce Clayton, Darren Lewis in center, Will Clark had already had one, and Willie McGee already had one. So, if that ball stays in a ballpark, or if it's on the ground, then you got a good chance of being out.
Anything else for Dusty this morning? Oh, Chandler, go ahead.
Yeah, Dusty, I just want to clarify. So Luis Garcia is going to stay in the rotation for now, and when you guys go to a six-man, so.
I didn't say anything about Garcia coming out.
Well, I just want to be clear. So Well, so Odorizzi and McCullers will piggyback on Tuesday, and then Odorizzi will make his – or he's scheduled to make a traditional start after that, and you guys will be in a six-man rotation.
Right.
Okay.
We got Grinke Wednesday, Urquidy Thursday, Garcia Friday, Framber Saturday, McCullers scheduled next Sunday, depends on how he comes out of this, and then Odorizzi. Now, it could be Odorizzi if McCullers, you know, has a setback or something, you know, on Sunday the 20th. But that's what we are right now.
Okay.
I mean, you know, man, and you know, we're going to need everybody because, you know, we're starting that 20 in a row streak, you know. So that's why I'm getting guys sharp now, playing them some now, you know, like yesterday, Garcia. And then Jones, and then McCormick and center, and then, you know, Stubbs catching, because we're going to need, I mean, everybody from the bullpen to the starters, to the bench, to everybody.
AstroCast is poured for you by Carbach Brewing. Get highlights, interviews, the latest news surrounding MLB, and your Astros. Brought to you by Carbach Brewing.
Looking up. See you later. Into the Landry's Crawford boxes.
Subscribe to AstroCast.
Expecting a great season with this Astros team.
The official podcast of the Houston Astros.
It's going to be a lot of fun the whole way.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.